So one day is Thursday, September 25th, 2025, and this is the week in charts. Obviously, we want to thank everybody for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here, so thank you. I'm humbled by your presence. What are we going to talk about? Well, current market conditions, your questions on trading, as usual. Your favorite stock and crypto picks, we'll get to those in a few minutes. This week, I'm going to continue to focus on the methodology in action. There's so much to talk about. There's so much happening. But I think it's important to focus on that. And I have a lot of psychology that I've been kind of building up and working on and fleshing out that I want to get to. But it's like each week, it's like there's so much to get through as far as the methodology is concerned. So hopefully we can start getting some of that next week. But right now, it's very important to see the methodology in action. And as we'll get to in just one second, it's the missing piece that I'm going to show you today and have been showing you with the methodology in action. That'll make a lot more sense in a minute or two. There's all my contact information. If you need to reach me, shoot a screenshot and I'll pull it up again in a second in case you missed it. There's the disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. Always have to sum it up. All predictions are about the future and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. That's from Greg Morris, my brother from another mother. Again, there's all my contact information should you need to reach me. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. We don't have any new missing charts, mystery charts, excuse me, this week. There's nothing that's set up as a recommendation. Mystery charts are direct recommendations from the trading service. But as I alluded to a second ago, as I said last few weeks, when I started trading, I didn't know whether I was doing the right thing or not, you know, and it was kind of a lonely sport. Now, back then, the internet wasn't prolific with a lot of gurus and all, and that's for better or for worse, but that's another story altogether. But fortunately, I was able to work with or do consulting for or programming with some traders, and one really specifically. And then also, I was part of a hedge fund early on, and I was able to see what was going on there and see a lot of trades happening. So I wasn't seeing the trades happening for a while, but then after I began seeing trades being made, it really helped me out to realize how things work. I can tell you about a setup and you can go out and try to trade a setup and like, oh, that sucks, you know, but you don't know why I picked that setup or what's the best pick setup to choose, or the fact that you might have to trade a dozen of them before you catch a really, really big winner. So those type of pieces are missing, and those things sort of come out each week as I begin to flesh them out, looking at the live trades. And that'll make a lot of sense right now. So you can see here's TFPM. This is directly from my trading service. This was a recommendation. This was a prior mystery chart. So what'll happen is I'll recommend the stock, and if it doesn't trigger before my show, the week of charts, I'll show it as a mystery chart. So this was a mystery chart going way back to late April. And you can see it was in a decent uptrend. It did begin to accelerate a little higher in recent times. This little pullback to the moving average, that's perfectly normal, and that's a good thing usually. That's a Landry Light pullback. Notice that Landry Light goes down to zero when that happens, the count on the bottom. This is just simply a count of the number of bars of Landry Light. It's available, it's becoming available more and more charting packages. I think somebody's done the code for TradingView. It's an official indicator, so to speak, in MetaStock, and it's on the ACP platform with stock charts. But anyway, you can see nice little pullbacks moving average. Those were the parameters. The entry protective stop and IPT is initial profit target. So on the chart, the entry is there, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. So let's see what happens. So it triggers and then it just sort of dies out. At this point, you're probably thinking, man, this is dead money. I've been in this thing a couple of weeks and I'm down a lot of money. I should probably bail out. It's like, well, you have to follow the plan. Okay. I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, which I'll talk a little bit about in a minute. But you have to be willing to have a stop in mind and come hell or high water, hold until and unless that stop is hit. If you micromanage yourself out of every trade, shorter term, you're going to feel great because, aha, look at that big loss I just missed. You're going to miss a lot of losses. Unfortunately, you're going to miss quite a few gainers. And all it takes is one or two big gainers to make you year. So at that point in time, I forget how much it was, but it was like probably about a $1,400 loss or something per 100K. Then it rallies up, and on the hypothetical 100K account, and I actually take these trades myself, and if you go in and watch the methodology in action, which is what we're doing right now, but if you go and watch the archives of that on YouTube for that playlist, you'll see a lot of, I'll show the actual trades a lot of times just to show you that I'm taking these myself. But anyway, so no longer dead money. You bank 1,000 per 100K. So if you bought the, whatever it was, 700 something shares, I think I rounded to 8 in my own account. You take off half of those shares when the initial profit target is hit and your stop comes up to break even. That way, barring overnight gaps, I know I preach the same thing every week, but I even need to hear a little bit over and over again. But barring overnight gaps, the worst you can do is break even on the remainder. And if that's the worst you do on every trade, and believe me, it's not. But if that, if you made 1% overall on every trade and stopped out, you would be pretty darn good, especially if you caught a few winners here and there. But anyway, once again, it becomes dead money because it went, what, 2 or 3 months without much forward progress, and it's actually lost a little ground. But it really didn't do anything wrong during that period. And the main thing it didn't do wrong was it didn't stop out by hitting that protective stop. So you stick with it. Begins a rally once again. And trust me, they don't always come back. As I think I say each week, when my job is real easy when I look at my portfolio, I see a few stocks getting whacked. I'm like, oh crap, these stocks are getting whacked. And then I look and say, oh, well, wait a minute, that's TFPM, that's in the service, that's Katos, which has become even more volatile, and I'll flesh that out a little bit in a minute since we've been in it. But I see those stocks getting whacked, and I'm like, oh, crap, maybe I should get out. And then I realize, well, no, that's service stocks. You have a direct plan in place. And the point I'm trying to get to is because I lay out that plan for you, I'm forced to follow it for myself. So if you were trading on your own and nobody's seeing your trading, okay? As I said 1,000 times at a client. He's really good. He's a really good trader, but then the wheels come off the bus every now and then or whatever. I said, long story is, I said, what if you showed your wife my trading plan every day and said, I'm going to follow this guy every day and I'm not going to do all this other stuff that I've been doing that's losing money. You know, don't even tell her that, right? But, you know, just show her all your trades and show her like which ones are mine, show her which ones are yours. And how you did not. It's like, oh no, that would end the marriage. It's like, okay, so he knew he was having some bad behavior. So my point is you have to develop discipline, and whatever sort of trick you use for that discipline, it's like, you know, I would love to have more time off and do things, but even if I think I was kind of retired or semi-retired, I think I would still run the trading service. Now let's see when we get there, but I think I would still do it because it forces me to do the research and it forces me to put together a game plan every day. And then it also forces me to follow that plan. And you could obviously do the same thing without a trading service, provided that without publishing a trading service, provided that you are disciplined enough to do it. Anyway, so no longer dead money. Let's see what happens for the rest of the time. Nice little rallies, pulling back here and there, but overall still doing pretty good. So you banked 1,000. And there's 2324 open. Now that stop has been trailed up over time, and it's also allowed to loosen up. And we only move the stop when the stock moves in our favor. And the same sort of money management goes to crypto and everything else. Now, a few weeks back, I had one that stopped out, and I decided to stick with it. And keep in mind, these discretionary calls, as opposed to following everything mechanical. And as I preach, if you are new to my trading service, I would strongly urge you to follow everything mechanical until you fully understand the methodology, the ups, the downs, the nuances, and then slowly integrate a little bit of discretion into what you do. But we're not throwing caution to the wind when we're trying to hang in there for a stop, STOP, Nick, okay? So here's the VG, which I recommended a while back, and you can see it stopped out for pretty much a full loss. Remember, we're risking 2% hypothetical 100K account. Again, I do mimic these trades for to show for educational purposes. Just like I said earlier, I was able to see somebody else trade, or several people at least, but one in particular with stocks, and that helped me out tremendously. Because you know it can be a very lonely business, and you're wondering, is it just me? And no, it's not just you. I was at a webinar once, and I said, I don't know. The bottom line is we're all crazy. Somebody emailed me right after, like, thank you for saying that. You know, it's like, yeah, it can make you feel a little nuts at times. And I'm just the opposite of the guru that's gonna tell you that you can make all this money and how easy it is. No, it's a lot of work. It's not hard, okay, but it's far from easy. But anyway, stop was there. So it went a little past the stop, but not too far. So in a case like this, if it's kind of bottoming out a little bit, you can give it a little bit of wiggle room. Now, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, and when this thing is down another 50% or whatever, then you decide to finally exit, or down 90%. That's a total different way of doing things, which you should not do, but it's okay to give a stock a little bit of wiggle room. Now, this case, it went about 20 cents beyond, if memory serves. It doesn't look like much on the chart, but it was about 20 cents. Now, a stop nick could be like 1 cent, or it could be like an opening gap reversal situation or something. Those where it immediately opens and then reverses, those situations are a little bit more cut and dry. In a case like this, it's like it did go a little past that stop. So you could argue that, well, Dave, you were a little liberal with the discretion. But as I've said, if you go back to the prior webinar, I did a walkthrough on exactly why I did what I did. This thing got creamed, and I don't know if it was earnings or whatever, but you know, when you have a wide range bar to the downside, this is kind of Larry Connors type of research. When a market gets stretched that far, that fast over one day, and if you probably did the math on this, that one bar is probably the biggest range. I'm just eyeballing it, but yeah, it's probably the biggest range over the last almost month at least, maybe even longer. So you know you have this huge expansion in volatility, and that tends to snap back. So we don't, there's no guarantee, but usually when you have that strong sell-off, and again, this is going back to some Larry Connors research, you have follow-through on the open, okay, but then that's followed by a reversal often, not all the time, but usually you'll get that initial follow through and then the market comes back. Now, whether it comes back longer term, you don't know, but you know that there's a slight short term edge there. So that's kind of factored in a little bit to my discretion or applying discretion in this particular case. But anyway, so knock on wood, so far, come in, so far it's worked. And there's a $957 improvement. It may have worsened a little today. I'm talking away from the mic. No, it's come. It's a slight improvement from that. So far, so good on that one. And that's just a little bit of discretion. I'll continue to follow up on it. Okay, KGC way back in May. It's kind of interesting that these charts, they don't look like these huge trends. But if you go way back to May and go back to and watch those archives on the Methodology in Action playlist, youtube.com/DaveLandry. And in the playlist is the Methodology in Action. Again, you'll see these charts, the walkthrough on when they trigger. But anyway, there's parameters there. And by the way, those archives can be found at DaveLandry.com/archives. The newer ones, which might be 1 day to 1 week or so old, are available on YouTube on the aforementioned YouTube channel, youtube.com/DaveLandry. And you can go in and get those fairly soon. But if you want to look at the long-term archives, DaveLandry.com/archives, and I'm due to update those again, so I'll put the newer ones in there soon. But if you want the most recent delayed ones, you can go to YouTube. And then if you want them live, you can go to DaveLandry.com/tradingservice. But anyway, there's all your parameters on the chart entry, protective stop, and initial profit target, respectively. Let's see what happens. So it rallies up, but then it kind of dies, okay? And you're above water, but you're not quite to that initial profit target. So once again, we've got dead money for 1, 2, 3 months, okay? You're slightly profitable, but you're sitting this thing for 3 months, and you're thinking, boy, this is dead money, okay? dead money has little or no chance of any further appreciation. Well, you don't know something is dead money until after the fact. So you can't just say anytime a market dies out, I'm going to get out, unless you've got a whole system wrapped around that and you know what you're doing, like a time stop and all. But that's a total different type of trading. We're trying to capture a swing trade, and we're trying to hang on for a long, 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 long time. I'm slotted as a swing trader because I think I had that on title of one or two of my books. But the reality is I'll sometimes hold a stock for years as long as it moves in my favor. And that's one of the pieces I'm working on from a psychological standpoint, is our job is to deploy our cash, make some money, okay, make some profits, and then put it back to our cash pile and keep growing our cash pile, okay? That doesn't mean, it kind of infers like you're in and out, like the rat going for cocaine. No, you want to be in a trade for 10 years, hopefully longer, every time you go after a trade. Obviously, the money management will take you out much sooner. Anyway, so as long as it doesn't stop out, stick with it, and you can see it eventually hit that initial profit target. Once again, per 100K, you're banking $1,000. So it's no longer dead money. The stop at this point comes to break even. We may have trailed it higher, likely a little bit. And this is where, if you can't sleep at night, go in and watch those archives, and you can see where we slowly nudge those stops higher as the market moves in our favor. So if the market doesn't do anything, we leave it where it is. And I've done some experimenting with some sort of like a moving average that'll only go up with price, because the moving average, because of the drop-off effect, will continue to kind of rise and catch up to price. And if price is just going kind of sideways to slightly lower and your stop is way down here, if you're using the moving average stop, the moving average is to go up and hit that price, okay? They're going to eventually intersect even if the price doesn't improve. Again, that's the drop-off effect. But ideally, you only want to move your stop if the market moves in your favor. And we let that widen out again over time. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but I think it's important to say what I'm going to do and then show you how I do it on example after example, especially with the dead money thing, because so many people will bail out early. And I think I said last show a couple of weeks ago that I remember we had a buyout, and it looked just like this KGC. It was above water, underwater, above water, just chopped sideways forever. This thing just absolutely died. It went straight up, pulled back, was beautiful, looked like it was getting ready to launch to the moon, went sideways for a month, and then it got bought out. I got a dozen emails from people saying, well, Dave, congratulations, but I got out 2 weeks ago. And it's hard, believe me, to stick with it. But if you have that plan in place, if you have these, as I often say, trying to sneak a little psychology in, because we're not going to get to that today. But if you have some sort of commitment device in play, it really helps out a lot. A commitment device is something that makes good habits easy and makes difficult habits not as easy. So anyway, you can see at the time I took the snapshot yesterday, we had 1443 open, and we already banked $1,000. So that's $5,400 and change per 100K. So that's a 5% move in your entire portfolio, which is much better than a poke in the eye. Now here's Katos. This was a defense stock. And it amazes me how most of my big winners, especially lately, because the market's been trending, have been Landry Light pullbacks. And you're just simply looking for 10 to 20 bars, depending on the acceleration and the net price movement of the stock. It might be a little less, but 10 to 20 bars of Landry Light lows greater than the moving average, and then a pullback to the moving average. And there's all your parameters. You can see the Katos, 43, 36, and 50, entry, protective stop, and IPT respectively. That's what it looks like on the chart. So it rallies up. We're doing pretty good for a day or two. Then it comes right back in. We're negative. And believe me, you know, when you go in, anyone who's ever done a little hand testing on the chart, you know, you're like, okay, enter here. Okay, still long, still long, still long, still long. you know, you're hitting the click, walk forward during your little, you know, back testing or whatever, and you're walking through it, and, you know, you go pretty quick, and if nothing's happened, you start hitting that arrow key really fast, and the chart's doing this and everything, and it's like, oh, there it is, bam, profit target, okay, this, I could see how this could work, and then you try to do it in real markets, and you're watching every tick, and about 2 hours in, you're negative, and it's like, it feels like you've been in the stock for about 20 days, and then that gets worse each day. It just doesn't do anything, and then you give up, and then it finally takes off, of course. But the map is not the territory. It's much easier to look at something in hindsight and see how it works than to actually trade it. But anyway, this particular case, 1,000 is banked. Stop again, comes to break even, and then we slowly let that stop again loosen up over time. Couple things working here. One, if you do it properly, the stock's volatility will expand, okay? Because the stock gets notice. You're using technical analysis to read the mind of the market. Okay, this market is trending. It's corrected down to the 30 EMA. So it looks poised to continue this uptrend. And if it continues this uptrend, I'm going to get in because there's obviously some demand for this stock, okay? So that's technical analysis. My form of technical analysis, I should say, is not any mumbo jumbo or stochastics, whatever that is, or wave counting and all this other crazy stuff. It's more of, or exactly, reading the mind of the market, reading the psychology of the other players, while at the same time embracing our own psychological flaws and neurological pitfalls and traps. And that's something that we talk about a lot. Go in and watch as many old videos of mine as you can stand. Can't sleep at night. But anyway, you can see it's had a nice run. So because that volatility is increasing and the price is increasing, so on a point basis, it's going to move more and more. So we start off with a point-based stop, if you think about it, and then we slowly let that stop open up over time. And that's so we can make the shift to longer-term trend following. As I preach each week, if you were to go into all of your stocks with a pure longer-term trend following mentality, or something like commodities or ETFs or whatever the case may be, and you want to stick with them for years, you're going to be about 27% correct, if that much, okay? So the big winners don't come along every day, but if you play for when they do, you end up with a decent looking portfolio over time, especially when the market begins to move. And gold, for instance, we just said KGC, we'll look at TFPM in a minute, but gold is acting like a crazy biotech or some sort of crazy semiconductor or something, as opposed to a gold stock. So I think we got one, don't quote me, I think I have the portfolio here soon. We'll come up in another slide, I should say. But I think we have one that's up nearly 100%. Or maybe I'm thinking about this K-test. But anyway, so again, we let that stop gradually loosen over time. And the stop here is not perfectly to scale, but if you wanted to see exactly where it was on each particular day, again, you can go look at the archives. But the idea is the stock goes up, you bring up the stop, not a like amount, but an amount to where you let that stop gradually loosen over time. Now, at some point, you go back to kind of close to a one-to-one basis once you get that stop really wide. And I have a slide where I've got an old lady looking at a laptop. She's like doing that, you know, and that's when your stop is finally wide enough. When you look at it, if you start mentally monetizing, like, holy crap, this thing gets hit, I'm going to lose a lot of open profits. That's usually right about the time your stop is wide enough. I know that's not very scientific. But anyway, okay, yeah, this was 91%. This is Cato. So I think this is the bigger winner or the biggest winner in the portfolio. And we had no idea because we're trend followers, okay? We're not trend predictors. And that's the problem with some of these people with their magical indicators and more esoteric and arcane things is they talk about it like it's some sort of science that can predict the market with some sort of accuracy. And that just does not exist, okay? Fortunately or unfortunately, I guess if it existed, they wouldn't be markets. So that's a different conversation altogether. because everybody would be doing it. But anyway, 55.70, so that's 5.6% round numbers on the open portfolio, 91% on the position. So here's another one that was recommended recently and mentioned as Dimitri Chart. Again, same pattern. Once again, Landry Light pullback. In this particular case, you can see the stock accelerated higher, which is a good thing. It's also what I call an accelerated momentum strategy. Pulls back to the moving average, okay? Landry Light goes to zero, so the count was about 35, just eyeballing it. And now it comes back to zero, again, 30 EMA. So here's the portfolio on the day it triggered. So here it is right here, ABCL. And then let's look at those parameters on the chart. Entry, stop, IPT. And let's see what it did, okay? Not much. So it's traded mostly sideways since the trigger. Now, I did use a little discretion on this one. And I didn't take the first entry here, but I did wait for it to begin to rally, and I did get in. And twofold: one, I thought it looked like it still had potential, and two, like I said, I try to mimic the service the best I can, but the discretionary side in me won't let me enter on like a fast move on the open or opening gap reversal, stuff like that. So there will be times where discretion might keep me out of a trade, but as long as if it still looks decent, I'll go ahead and get in, so I too am long. But anyway, so far this has been dead money. We had minus 190 open profits when I took the screenshot a little while ago. ATII, now this wasn't a mystery chart because it's set up in between shows and triggered, I should say, but nice longer term uptrend, a little bit of a pullback, not quite to the EMA, but it's a good looking pullback nonetheless. Probably the original Landry Light pullbacks were called, I want to say, Kiss Ma Goodbye, the moving average, and that was with a 20 EMA. So I'd be willing to bet it's probably a 20 EMA pullback. But by the way, one thing I wanted to say earlier is I don't actually, sometimes I'll have the 30 EMA on the chart and usually nothing else, but I don't always plot these, the 30 and in the Landry Light, because I like to just eyeball the charts, but I could eyeball a chart and tell you whether or not it's a Landry Light pullback, but it might be another type of setup that I like. And I think there's another one that would be a good example in 1 second here, and I'll show you. But anyway, good looking pullback. Stock trades fairly cleanly. Volatile, which is okay. I like volatile stocks that trade fairly cleanly. And there's all the parameters down below. And you can see that stop percentage wise is pretty darn wide, but that's what it calls for. Initial profit target is this green line right above the chart. So let's see what happens. Triggers, but then unfortunately comes back in. At that point, another dead money situation, but then it begins to take off. Unfortunately, it comes back in again, but we're still in the black a little on this one. So let's see how it shakes out. It is a volatile stock. So it was $500 open profit when I grabbed this chart snapshot. So at the moment, it's no longer dead money. Now, I did get an email from someone. He said he sold ATAI at the profit target in after hours trading last night. Although not all trading platforms support this, you might mention it to your subscribers. I cut and pasted this to Facebook. Most of the subscribers are in Facebook. This gentleman is not. I tried to get him come in under alias because he's got good analysis. Super, super, super smart. Anyway, after hour spikes seem to be more frequent in the last few months. So this is what he's referring to. You can see we had that big spike overnight. I saw the spike in early morning, like super early morning, but I didn't interrupt my morning routine to come in here and see if I had any action to be taken. In hindsight, obviously, I wish I would have. It depends on the stock, okay? Sometimes on a super volatile stock, and in hindsight, I probably should have done it on this one. I will put in that IPT in after hours trading. I'll put a limit order in for that initial profit target. The reason as a general statement, I don't, is because if a stock does go up big overnight and I come in the next day and it opens above the initial profit target, okay, I try to, well, number one, if it opens above the initial profit target, I've already beat the system, so to speak. I'm already above the initial profit target. But I try to hang on and use a trailing stop on half of those shares and try to squeeze out some additional profits. Now, every now and then that works, and every now and then it doesn't. So sometimes with these crazy ones, it's a good idea to put in an initial profit target. Now, sometimes if I'm trading something like really crazy, I might put in a limit order at 100% or some kind of crazy limit order and just let the chips fall where they may and see what happens. In crypto, I do that a lot. I'll put in a limit order at 100% for a very small amount, just in case I get an overnight spike, I'll get a little money off of the trade. Anyway, so that was a discretionary call on that one. Now, as I said earlier, what I want to show you here is like, here's a pullback. It's not a Landry-like pullback, but it's a generic pullback, so to speak. It's also accelerating in momentum. It's also persistent. But then you have this knockout bar here. So I call that a TKO slash pullback. But you can see it did accelerate higher after kind of gradually grinding its way higher. And then it accelerates higher, and you look to play that first pullback when that happens. So here are your parameters down here for this one. And here's all the other trades. You can see that we're long. And let's see what the percentage gain is. Yeah, the K-Test was a big winner. I was thinking about this one, but that's 66%. That's better than PolkaDI. But the K-Test has approached, is getting close to 100% on a good day at least. Anyway, let's see what happens. There's the entry. There's a stop. Initial profit target is up here. And not a whole lot has happened just yet. So far, not so good on that one. If it's dead money, we should get out. No, stick to the plan. Settle down, Beavis. So I'm not too proud to say we have a minus 940 open on that one, but we'll see what happens. Okay. Now, I used to preach against day trading, and I still do to some extent. I try not to do too much day trading, but I find if I wait and pick my spots carefully and do something like opening gap reversals, I tend to do okay. I tend to be able to pick up a little money here and there. It's when I try to chase my own tails when I get into a lot of trouble. But these opening gap reversals, I kind of see these more as an intraday position type of trade. You've got a bigger picture set up. This is kind of a textbook example here. In fact, it looks a lot like the example I'm going to show you in a second. But you can see this stock is going up really, really, really nicely and then makes this big fat gap down. Sometimes you'll get a bit of a pullback, then you'll get a big gap down. I like those too. Make sure you have plenty of liquidity. So you can see this is you. These uranium stocks have been on fire, but like I told my peeps a while back, they just really haven't let us in just yet, okay? So when I saw this opening gap on this one, I said, aha, this might be worth going after. And this stock has, make sure your stock you're trading has plenty of volume, okay? Make sure it's in a really, really good trend. Just if a stock's going down and gap's lower, don't try to play that reversal, okay? Because there's a lot of people wanting to get out, and that gap just put more and more pressure on them. Whereas if a stock is really trending and it gaps lower, you might have bargain hunters out there. You might have a floor trader, if that exists anymore, a market maker, whatever, somebody who buys positions for a firm, okay? They might have missed the boat. They might need to load up a little bit on the stock, or some institution might want more exposure to uranium in this particular stock or whatever. So they might use it as an opportunity to add on. Another theory, and I suppose it still makes sense, but I was thinking more back to the New York Stock Exchange stocks back when you actually had a specialist for a stock. I guess you still do. I don't know how that works. Or a market maker, if you want to look at it like that, the NASDAQ. If they have to buy and sell stocks, they're forced to, you know, so you got a specialist or a market maker for you. He's on the hook to buy the stock. But if that stock gets whacked, he's going to try to buy it at as low a price as possible. And he doesn't want a bunch of inventory, okay? So whatever he brings in, he wants to be able to unload later in the day to make a profit. He's got to feed his family too. So you're panicky and you're freaking out because your stock got whacked overnight, or God forbid, you get a margin call, which you have to unload some stocks fast. He's like, oh, you want to sell me that turd? How about $3 lower than what it was last night, okay? And that's a little game that they play. And you're basically, if provided you're not already long, but if you see these opening gap reversals begin to unfold, you could go in and you're basically playing on the same side as the market maker on these. You can see nice little reversal in this particular one. Now, this is a 30-minute chart. And two things. One, as I said, ad nauseum, I've gone to a longer time frame intraday because I find I'm not watching every zig and zag so much. And I've said it 1,000 times, but I think I accidentally changed my charts from a 5 to a 15. And I remember trading E-minis, I went like 3 days without a trade. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I find a trade? Because I lost money on 12 of them last week, you know, a dozen of them, and I couldn't find a trade. And then, like on Wednesday, I got a setup or whatever, and I took it and I made a little money. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And then once again, I go back to no setups. Well, somehow in the process, I actually changed my charts to a 15-minute chart. Now I went to a 30-minute chart so I could see the forest for the trees. Taking one step further, if you're trading yogurts, you might want to take an occasional peek at least at your daily charts, because that little zig and zag is going to be much, much, much smaller on a daily chart. If you're watching a 1 minute or 5 minute chart or whatever, it's going to look like these huge moves, and you're likely to get sucked in before the real move ensues, okay, on a fake out. But anyway, so this is the post that I put into Facebook a little while ago. You, ogre. Ogre is opening gap reversal, okay? So there's your opening gap there, okay? The day before, the stock is up here. Again, this is a 30-minute chart. So the stock begins to rally. So I put in a stop, an entry stop, above the market, okay? It gets triggered, so I go long 200 shares, and this is in the model account. I just do trade small here, so it's something reasonable. If you look at this and say, well, I could do that, okay? So you're looking at, what, $3,000 margin round number for a trade like this. Anyway, initial profit target, in this particular case, I figured 1 point would be about right, okay? Which would put you down toward the old lows. If it's a true opening gap reversal, then it shouldn't go down to the old lows after triggering. So it did rally up over about an hour or so, hit the IPT. At this point in time, you take off half of your profits, you get that stop to break even, and then you trail loosely on the remainder. Now, in this particular case, I haven't loosened that stop any because it hasn't made a huge move higher past the initial profit target. But if these things work and you use let's see if I have the trades there. There's the trades right there. If you use a stop to get you in, okay, so you put your order in, there's nothing to do. You get triggered in. What do you do then? Okay, well, you've already decided 1 point is going to be your initial profit target and your initial stop. So you can put in a limit order at that 1 point, and that's what I do. I usually don't use limit orders that much, but for something like an opening gap reversal, and then possibly if it's some kind of wild and crazy stock that's kind of spiky, like that ATAI, I might put a limit order in. I might also think about bailing out in after hours a little bit more than I have in the past. But anyway, you could put in an automated trailing stop. Now, that's something I would never recommend for position trading, okay? Because you might get a spike one day, that stop will come up, and you'll get knocked out of your position. However, for intraday trades, if you have an initial profit target, that aforementioned spike might hit your IPT, and then your stop comes to break even at that point. And then if the stock keeps moving higher throughout the day, that trailing stop just follows it all day long, and you have the potential to capture a really good move. So that's the opening gap reversal. Any questions on that? Any questions on anything thus far? All right, let's keep moving. As I've said before, the Landry 100, kind of a proof of concept type of project. I did this years ago. Long story in this, the software was no longer available to make tracking easy. And I just got back into it fairly recently. Maybe it's been a year. I forget how long. But all we're doing is we're buying stocks as they're making new 52-week highs. I have some of these stocks in a test portfolio with a very small share size. I don't, in general, though, this is not a live actual portfolio. It's more of a proof of concept. Now, you get to see the speculation is alive and well. You get to see how momentum works. You get to see that momentum ends badly. And that's one thing I want to flesh out a little bit too. And I've kind of fleshed that out a little earlier with the dead money. Okay. And then when these stop out, you're going to see the open profit drawdowns and all this other good stuff and how sticking with winners, again, through the dead money sometimes can really pay off and so on and so forth. And a lot of that unfolds with this management of the Landry 100. And it really kind of gets you in shape to have the mindset of like a coach or a good manager, right? As opposed to falling in love with your stocks. So these are just vehicles for you to make money. It doesn't matter what the company does or who the company is or who you like in the company or whatever. They're just a vehicle for you to make money. If they're going up, you buy them and hang on. If they're not going up, then you don't buy them, okay? Anyway, so all these were bought at brand new highs. Right now, my scan is set to 52-week highs. If we get into a prolonged, God forbid, choppy or bear market, then I might move that down to as low as maybe a 90-day high or something like that. For now, my scans are set at 52-week highs. So the stock has to make a brand new closing high for the year before it can be added to this list. And again, that shows you things like momentum begets momentum. And I didn't even look at all these numbers before going live. I know the top three were four or five were pretty good. But look at all these 40% gains in here from September. Look at that, September. I feel like Tiny Elvis. Look at that stock, it's huge. RGTI, I think that's one of those quantum computing companies, 41%. And that was put on the 17th. And where are we now? That was 8 days ago, if my math is right on that. So that's a pretty good move. Now, again, we're buying at new closing highs, and it was right somewhere in here. You kind of have to squint your eyes. Let's see if we can back it out, see if I had the right day. But yeah, it's real stealthy. That's actually a new closing high. So it might close on the high and be a new high and a new closing high. But sometimes these closing highs are kind of stealthy and they kind of get hidden within the bars, okay? And that's a good time to buy if you're trading some sort of breakout type of thing. Now, let me just rewind that a little bit. I don't want you rushing out and trading breakouts. Breakouts usually fail, but more often than not, at least. However, if you buy enough breakouts, you will catch stocks that look like this. Now, getting back to the second case, to what I said a second ago, in case I don't close the loop, is that you want to do a bit of like a constant window dressing, like a good coach or a good manager of people, and you want to cut the fluff. You want to get rid of things that aren't working, okay? So if a stock is doing well, you leave it in the list. When it begins to underperform, you get rid of it and you look for something better. If you have a player that's underperforming, you get rid of them and you find somebody better. There was a really good quote. I'll have to dig it up. But it was Sir something of one of these soccer teams that Beckham was. It was Beckham's coach. And he and Beckham, you know, ins and outs or whatever. And he says, you're never going to fall in love with your players. You know, you just can't do it because that's not your job, is to be their friend or whatever. Your job is to pick the best players at all. So my thinking is that he would be a good coach. You have to be willing to kick out the losers. And I did a piece a while back. You can find it on Substack, that Dave Landry, I always forget that.com. How does that work? Something like that. Whatever that link for Substack was. I have an article there called Be a Tyrant. And basically it's saying you have to be willing to cut loose your stocks that aren't working. And as I said 1,000 times before, you're a manager, you got three workers busting their ass, you got one worker sitting on his, okay? Who's getting fired? You don't say, oh, you know what, Joe over there hadn't done anything all week, almost demonetized. Let's keep him around because maybe he's due to start working. No, kick him out, okay, and find somebody else that's going to do the work and then reward the other three by keeping him on. But anyway, it's kind of amazing. It still amazes me that sometimes you could buy these things at new highs and they still have another 400% to go. I cut my teeth years ago on William O'Neill. I'm not going to say I've distanced myself from that, but I don't really believe in the fundamental aspect of it. I would never dump on anybody's methodology. I don't like the way they sort of changed their model in the 90s because the model wasn't working with the markets. But I don't know enough about it to really opine, but I'm not a huge fan of fundamentals. But one thing I learned from him was technicals, and that some of your best stocks have already doubled in price. And it's kind of hard to buy a stock when it's up a lot, but it keeps on going. We backed this chart out on this. I'm sure it had a pretty good run coming into this before it made those new highs. But anyway, speculation is alive and well. All right, any questions at all, lad? All right, let's go ahead and shift gears. And we could always come back to stuff too. Let's go ahead and shift gears to crypto. I haven't taken a lot of action lately in crypto. I think I had one hit the IPT recently. Looks like this one's getting cream. I need to get out of this one. Okay, so this one's getting cream. Probably have to get out of that one. This is the one that hit the IPT and then came right back in. Now, in crypto, sometimes as I preach, this is if Bitcoin is doing really well. That's kind of your bellwether, which it's not at the moment, okay? Or lately, at least. We'll get to that in 1 second. Sometimes you just come in here and buy these ones that are making new highs. By the way, the one that I saw one last week, and I went to make the trade, and it wasn't available in Coinbase. And instead of going through the rigmarole of trying to open up other accounts or whatever, or go to other accounts and go through the captures or the phone things or whatever. What do you call it? 2FAs and all. I was like, you know what? Screw it. We're not going to take the trade. And regrettably, it took off afterwards. But right now, it's not the time to just play the relative strength game, so to speak, in these crypto pairs. Let's take a look at Bitcoin. So Bitcoin has been a bit of a disappointment. It's kind of toppy. Longer term, I think it has potential, but it hasn't really done a lot in quite some time. You go all the way back to June. What amazes me is that the net price change, which is the simplest of all technical analysis, right? Where is the market now? Where was it a week ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago, and so on and so forth. But the net price change really hasn't changed much in Bitcoin for a long, long time, all the way since June, right? It is looking a little toppy at the moment. So for me to get excited about Bitcoin, it would have to come way back to probably brand new highs, okay? So I would avoid Bitcoin for now. And again, you can play the relative strength game, but usually it's much easier to play that when Bitcoin is banging out new highs or certainly doing well. The great thing about crypto, now I've got to remind myself this kind of comes back to a million little things, but the great thing about crypto is your bull bear cycles. I said bear. Dave, you don't sound like a coon ass, so I'm a coon ass. It'll come out. Bear. Your bull bear cycles are fairly quick. And that gives you a wonderful opportunity, but you will have to exercise some money management, take those profits, stop out, etc. But every 3 or 4 weeks, it seems like we get a new bull cycle and unfortunately a following bear cycle in these cryptos, or these, I guess you call them the shit coins, okay? The SHYT coins. But again, watch Bitcoin as your bellwether. And when these things are doing well and banging on new highs, sometimes you can just buy the strongest ones, okay? And then put your initial profit target in as a limit order. And if that gets hit, bring your stop to break even, just like we do with stocks. And then let it loosen over time. All right, let's shift to stocks. We get to stocks. And if you have any questions on anything, we can always come back. All right, let's take a look at If you have any stock picks you want me to look at, just start punching them in now. I'll be happy to do that. As I've said, ad nauseum, we've kind of eliminated that part of the show because we now do the, we have the Facebook group and we look at stocks during the week. S&P 500, nice persistent uptrend remains intact here. Persistency, just draw a line through as many bars as possible. Mathematically, that's equivalent to linear regression. And I think I have, here we go. Let's see if this works. Yeah, so here's your linear regression. And you can see, like I just said, you want to draw a line through as many bars as possible. And most of these linear regressions of various time frames are headed higher. I don't actually use this in my actual trading, but sometimes it's fun. I know you're going to pardon me to take a look at what linear regression is saying about a market. But that's something, again, I don't actually use in my analysis of trading. But every now and then for S&G, it's just to prove a point or see what's happening in the market. I take a look at all these linear regressions. I call it like, it's like pickup sticks. All right, let's take a look at, let's get back to where we were. So P's still look pretty darn good. NASDAQ composite, so far just pulling back. This market really needed to pull back. And I know it's painful. And if you're trading momentum, you're absolutely printing money in a market like this. Unfortunately, when you're going for that high beta, okay, you're trying to beat alpha. I usually don't use those terms, but you're looking for inefficiencies in the market. So an inefficient stock is that defense stock that goes up 100%. Okay, so that 100% move wasn't priced in 3 months ago, 4 months ago, whenever we got long that KTOS. Okay, that's what we're looking for. Unfortunately, when the market gets whacked, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So your drawdowns are going to be a lot worse. And sometimes the market will actually go a little higher and the momentum stocks will get whacked really hard. And as I've said, ad nauseum, that's one thing that's kind of cool about Landry 100 is when that gets whacked, those are high momentum stocks, okay? High beta, I guess you'd call them, high HV, whatever you want to call them, inefficient stocks. They tend to get whacked right before a market has a bit of a correction. So if you're playing the momentum game and your portfolio gets whacked and the market makes a marginal new high or sells off just a little bit, don't feel like, oh, I sure didn't beat the market today. I got cream. What's wrong? That comes with the territory. And I think that's one thing I want to flesh out more and more of is what's normal. Okay. So if it's normal to just get whacked, like we were getting cream this morning and we're pretty close to going back in the black for the day. Okay. That's just how it works. And one thing about that is you got to be really careful watching every zig and zag. Now I'm busier and busier, so I'm here more and more in front of the screens, whereas the older me or the previous me used to spend as little time as possible in the office and go off and do some other things. So I wasn't watching every tick. But now since I'm here so much, I got to be really careful not to get sucked in. I guess that's been over the last probably 5 years or so. Anyway, Russell 2000, kind of an ugly gap today. In general, it's been doing pretty good. It just made all-time highs, and hopefully it's not up to its old antics by stalling out when it gets to new highs. You know, hopefully it's not like the airlines, when it goes up, you sell it. That's a system in and of itself, right? But anyway, you can see we have a gap lower today. That's kind of an ugly gap, but if it gets filled, then it's not a problem. I just wish that it would get past this prior peak and not look back for a while. Some of these areas that kind of were rolling over took off and then they're stalling out a little bit. So there's always something to worry about, right? So this is cybersecurity. We'll have to see what happens here. It doesn't look bad longer term, but additional weakness would be of concern. Gold, the commodity, so far just pulling back a little bit. Again, starting to act like a momentum, like a biotech or something. And take a look at gold miners. Look at that. They've been on quite the tear as of late. Broker deal, a bit of a bummer. Tried to break out, but then came back in. Doesn't look horrible, but it is stuck in a range and going sideways. Maybe that's a base for it to launch into space, as Mr. Acapora would say. We'll see, but little sideways, little loss of momentum there. Biotechnology has been doing pretty good today, notwithstanding. Kind of a knockout type of move today, but it still looks pretty good longer term. It does have some fluff to get through, so that's a little bit of a concern there. Software, another one of those areas that broke out past the prior peak and just come back in. Not the end of the world, okay? So it's kind of what happens next that's important. If we take out today's low and a little bit beyond, then we're kind of back into this soup, and that would be of concern. Defense, so far, nice little breakout remains intact. So far, just kind of correcting a little bit. So that still looks pretty good. Again, though, watch these areas, as I think I alluded to in the market in a minute, and my trading service. If they come back into their ranges, then you might want to pull in your horns a little bit. Mags has just been doing fantastic. It rarely do you see an old leader become a new leader again. Usually you have leaders in the market. Like, I don't think the golds are going to be the next bull market, right? They're the current bull market, but in the next bull run, it probably won't be golds. Commodities do that all the time. As I've said 1,000 times, I think it was 2008, I was invited to go to Italy. That was the first time I went there. And these speakers got up and they were all running these energy funds and they all got these awards and everybody clapped for them. And I'm like, you're not going to see any of these guys here next year. I can almost guarantee you that. And then energies, of course, imploded over the year. Oh, and they all got up and made little speeches about how grateful they are and how smart they are. And I'm like, okay, let's see how you're doing next. Let's see how you do next year. Robotics and AI has been doing fantastic, but it got whacked a little today so far. It's coming back a little, though. I'd like to see it close this gap, but so far, so good. But on all of these, make sure you wait for an entry. We hadn't seen a lot of setups lately, but if this market doesn't rally too much today, we should see a plethora of setups fairly soon. Cloud computing, look at that. It's been on a tear so far, just pulling back. These pullbacks are actually healthy for the market. Silver, look at that. Begging on new highs today. It's looking pretty good. Tiny Elvis is coming out once again. Look at the semis. Okay, that's looking pretty good. Opening gap reversal there. What else is happening? Bonds have been generally improving for a while, but they're choppy and kind of all over the place. And then they pull back a little as of late. I sure would like to see them bang out some new highs and keep on keeping on. Uranium, as I mentioned earlier, has been really on a tear. Look at that. Nice little opening gap reversal there. Again, the UUUU, we went long that one earlier. Financials, not a tremendous amount of momentum, but they're not too far away from all-time highs. A little choppy and all, so the overall, that's okay. Metals and mining overall has been doing really well. Nice opening gap reversal there. Okay, I think that's it. Anybody have any questions? Any stocks you guys want me to look at? I'll give YouTube a minute or two to catch up. While we're at an impasse, obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls again for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Shows are usually on Thursdays at 11 Central. And, you know, check back, obviously, on the schedule. But right now, that's the schedule on that. Any unanswered questions, DavidDaveLandry.com. To all you guys and girls that are here live, most of you are in Facebook groups. I'll see you there in a few minutes. Everyone else, have a fantastic weekend and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much.